ओमज्ञानचिमिरं हस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाका चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So this is a very strange request, that my dear Lord, may I be born as a bug. But his point is that I want to be born in the house of a devotee in any situation. Then at least I can hear them chanting the holy names. Maybe I can get a little prasadam. Or, bahya mukha brahma janme nahi ash. But I don't want to take birth as Brahma even if I'm Brahma who is not inclined towards devotional service. Because he's thinking that even if I take birth as a bug, that I've surrendered to Krishna, Krishna will look after me. Sometimes that happens, that devotees, they take birth in a lower species of life. Generally, a devotee, if he does not achieve perfection in one life, he'll take birth in the human species. But it's possible he may also not attain to the human species. Just like we know the history of Jara Bharat. He was Bharat Maharaj, he was a great devotee, and he was almost completely perfect in devotional service. But at the time of, even while he was doing his devotional service, somehow or other he became attached to a deer. And at the time of death, instead of thinking of Krishna, he thought of the deer. That's why it's very dangerous to, you shouldn't keep dogs and cats as pets. Because if you become attached and you think of the dog at the time of death, then you become a dog. So Bharat Maharaj, he became a deer in his next life. But Krishna still protected him. And even though he was in the body of a deer, he remembered his previous life. So he always associated with devotees. And then in the next life, after the birth as a deer, he got born as Jara Bharat. And then he became perfect in devotional service in that life. Bhukti mukti spriha bihin jay bhakta labhaite tanka shanga anurakta. He's praying for the association of devotees. Which kind of devotees? Those who have not the slightest desire for material enjoyment or for liberation. He wants to have the association of such a devotee. So this we should pray for. Dhruv Maharaj also prays. Prahlad Maharaj also prays. All the great devotees pray. My dear Lord, please give me the association of your devotees. Association with such devotees works very powerfully. Such devotees, just by their influence, we also become bhukti mukti spriha bihin, free from the all materialistic desires. Janak janani doyeta tanoi, prabhu guru pati tuhun sarvamoy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my dear Lord, to me, you are father, mother, lover, son, master, guru, spiritual master, husband, everything. Prabhupada, he often used to say this, that if you want God as your father, you can have. If you want God as your son, you can have. If you want God as your lover, you can have. Amen. He's ready to accept you in whatever way you want. He is open to us. And he is not stereotyped. Whichever way our love for Krishna develops, that way Krishna is ready to reciprocate with us. Pativinoda kohe shunokan radhana tuhu hamar paran. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kano, Krishna, please listen to me. Kana is a pet name for Krishna. I don't know how you say it. It's a nickname. No. Means, in Vrindavan, the devotees, they call Krishna Kanaya. Krishna Kanaya. Kanaya. Kana. It's a familiar name. Or Balaram is Balai. Just like your devotees, they may say, if you have a long name, they may make it short. Just like in Australia, there was one devotee called Payobdishai Vishnu Das. Payobdishai Vishnu. So they used to call him Payo. Nickname. Prabhupada sometimes used to call devotees by nicknames also. There's one devotee, Garga Muni. He was very good at collection. So Prabhupada used to call him Garga Money. So Krishna has his pet names also. Chunokan Radhana Tuhu Hamar Paran. You are the Radhana. You are the master of Radharani. And you are the life of my life also. This word pran. This is very much used in connection with Krishna. Pran literally means the life airs running within our body. It means that that is the essence. That is the essence of our physical life. So you'll find this word used very much. That Radha Krishna Pranamo. Radha and Krishna, they are my life. Or Krishna's name is Prananath or Pranesha. He's the Lord or the master of our lives. And Radharani's name Praneshwari. She's the mistress of Krishna's life. Sometimes there's some devotees, Pran Krishna Das, Pran Gopal Das. Actually, it's very nice if you can learn a few of these words, then you can appreciate these songs very much. I first learned Bengali because I wanted to understand these songs. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the time will come when the people of the world will learn Bengali so they can read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not only Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's so many literatures in Bengali. Bengali, Sanskrit. Prabhupada said once that if you started now to read all the Vedic literatures, especially the Vaishnava literatures, if you sat down and read one book, then you read another book. Like this, you went on your whole life. You could not reach the end. He said that all the Vedic literatures, especially the Vaishnava literatures, they should be translated in English and distributed all over the world. So there's so much nectar. Of course, the essence is there in Prabhupada's books. Everything we need for all our spiritual advancement is in Prabhupada's books, especially these four books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Nectar of Devotion. And there's so much nectar in these books. These books are for distribution, and especially they're meant for reading by the devotees. Prabhupada told Hari Krishna Maharaj, you are authorized to read these books 24 hours a day. So he said, well, I don't think the temple president would agree. So Prabhupada said, doesn't matter, I'm giving authorization. So anyway, read Prabhupada's books. Distribute the books. Act on these books. One time in Vrindavan, I heard that, Prabhupada said that, and that just made a very big impression on me. Prabhupada said we should make the Srimad Bhagavatam our life. It means we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. We should distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. We should meditate on the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should make our lives according to the instructions in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we should serve the pure devotee who is the personified Bhagavatam. We should discuss Bhagavatam, speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Just now I was reading in Bhagavatam, 11th canto, one story, the story of the pigeon family. This was told by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. It's a very instructive story. There was Kapota and Kapoti, male and female pigeon. And they were very much in love with one another. They were real lovebirds. They took great pleasure in one another's company. They liked to look at each other's bodies and glance at each other. And everything they did together. They would get up in the morning and sit on the tree and cuckoo together. They would fly here and there together, completely absorbed in Maya, thinking that this Kapoti is my wife and this Kapota is my husband. So after some time, they had some little babies. And they were so happy. Our wonderful little babies. And they used to work hard all day, bringing food. Have you seen the birds? They'll go all day, they'll be flying, bringing food. And the birds will be sitting in the nest. And then when the mother or father comes back with some food, they'll all put up their necks and make their noise. They'll all start chirping, give it to me, give it to me. And then they give, and then again the bird goes away, and all day they're bringing food like this. So the birds were getting a little bigger, and the baby birds, they used to go outside the nest and wander around here and there. And in the meantime, the mother and father would go long distance to gather lots of nice worms and horrible things for them to eat. So one hunter was wandering through the forest and he saw these little pigeons. And the mother and father had gone away to get food. So the hunter, he was also doing the same thing. He was hunting for food to bring to his children. So he spread out his net and the pigeons, they jump, 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 jump. One by one they jumped into the net, and as soon as they were in, they were lost. Then the mother pigeon came back and she saw, oh, my pigeon babies. My life, they're all caught in the net. She couldn't believe what had happened. She was so happy. My husband is so nice. My children are so wonderful. Life is so wonderful. She'd gone out collecting worms for such a long time, full of happiness, thinking how my children will become healthy and strong. She came back and all of a sudden, boom, all the happiness smashed. So she simply fainted, and she also fell in the net. Then Mr. Pigeon came back, and he also was completely distraught. He was sitting on the branch on the tree and seeing, my wife and children are caught. They're as good as dead. They're pathetically struggling to get out of the net, but they cannot. And he also became overcome with illusion, and losing his strength, he just fell into the net. And the hunter thought, good day today, and gathered them all up and took them home to make them into borscht. Actually, Prabhupada told this story a little bit differently. He said that when the pigeon came, he saw, oh, now my wife and children are all caught. Just see the nature of material life. All right, now I'll take sannyas. But in the original story, he didn't have enough strength. So this is the nature of material happiness described by Lord Krishna. Very pathetic story. In this material world, people love each other. But that love is always a source of great distress. So Krishna is teaching us, you love me. If you take shelter of Krishna, there will be no sorrow. You love your son, he will die. You will die also. But if you accept Krishna as your son, then that is eternal. Here's the next song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is very important. Aham Mama. This song is all about Aham Mama. I, me, and mine. Aham means I, and Mama means my. So everyone is going on thinking in terms of I and mine. Everyone constantly, 24 hours a day, all they think about I and mine, which is foolish, because nothing belongs to us. We are tiny, insignificant living beings. So bhakti yoga devotional service means to become conscious that not aham mama, but tumitoma means you, Krishna, and yours. Aham mama shabda arte jaha kichu hoy. Apilun tomar pade ohe doyamoy. He says that wherever this aham mama, wherever this has its usage, in all circumstances, I've given it up. I've given up the idea that everything belongs to me. I'm simply offering everything to you, Krishna. Ohe doyamoy. Krishna, you are very merciful. Because up till now, I've been a thief. Anyone who's thinking this is mine, he is a thief. Thief because it's not his. Everything belongs to Krishna. One time, Prabhupada was walking, I think it was in Chicago, morning walk. And devotees showed that in this big, big wall. They showed Prabhupada in behind this wall is a very big house with big gardens. And one of the richest people in America lives here. So they said, Prabhupada, should we go to preach to him? Prabhupada said, well, what will you preach to him? What should you preach to him? So different devotees, they had different ideas. Yeah. Someone said, well, we should ask him to give a donation. Yeah. Someone said, well, we should tell him he's not the body. Someone said, we should ask him to chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Prabhupada said, no, you should tell him he's a big thief. Because he's saying that all so many things belong to me, actually it belongs to Krishna. So devotees were very surprised how Prabhupada could think to preach so strongly. Later, one of the devotees who was on that morning walk, he was also on a morning walk with Prabhupada in Mayapur. And one businessman from Calcutta was introduced to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada asked, so what kind of business are you doing? He said, manufacturing glass. So he said, where does the glass come? Prabhupada asked him, where does the glass, how is it produced? So he said, well, it's produced from quartz. So he said, Prabhupada asked, where does the quartz come from? Well, it's separated from sand. So where does the sand come from? Well, we have quarries. Prabhupada said, no, no. Where does everything originally come from? Then the man understood. Oh, he said, well, originally everything comes from Bhagavan. So Prabhupada said, so everything comes from Bhagavan means everything belongs to Bhagavan. You are utilizing it and saying it is your business. So if you utilize something which belongs to someone else and call it yours, what does that make you? And the man followed the logic and he said, well, I guess I'm a thief. Prabhupada said, yes, that's correct. So in this way, he showed how to preach to someone and tell them that you're a big thief. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us to give up this thief mentality. Amar amito nath narahino ar ekon hoino ami kebal toma. Ami amar. Aham mama is Sanskrit and ami amar. Here's amar ami. It means the same thing. My, I and mine. Ami amar means I and mine. So yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, finished. I've given up that idea. Now, I'm simply thinking, everything is yours. Actually, that's a fact. As long as we think everything belongs to me, we simply experience anxiety. In the modern age, anxiety is a very common problem, especially in the Western countries, which is very materialistic. Everyone's simply trying to become a bigger and bigger thief by getting more and more possessions, more and more money. And they suffer so much stress and anxiety. Therefore, they get psychotic conditions, ulcers. Mm. Ulcers, you know, that is in the hole in the stomach. It's a very common condition caused by anxiety. Then heart attack. All these. So we have the Krishna conscious solution for all these problems. Just stop thinking you're the owner. Just understand everything belongs to Krishna. Then no more anxiety. Sometimes people are very envious of the devotees. They see them chanting and dancing in the streets. They become very envious. Why are these people so happy? Who allowed them to be so happy? Why should they be so happy when I'm so miserable? Why don't they work hard like an ass like me and be miserable like me? Why should they be happy and not me? But the fact is, devotees are happy. No anxiety. No problem. Famous saying, no problem. For devotees, it's actually true. Because they know whatever problem is there, there's no problem that's so big that it cannot be solved by Krishna consciousness. There's no real problem at all. Because everything in this world is temporary. Whatever situation we are in, that's not going to stay. Devotee's only anxiety, his only problem is that everyone else is suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. He feels no anxiety on his own part, but he feels great anxiety that people are suffering from lack of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he tries to give Krishna consciousness to them. Vaivod vijay paradiratiya vaitaranyas Tadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachitam Shochetato Vimukachetas Indriyatam Maya Sukhaya Paramudvahato Vimurha. This is the prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. This mood was very prominent in Prabhupada, and he tried to give it to us also. Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Lord Narsinghadev, I have no problem. Just his father was torturing him in so many ways, but he always thought, I have no problem. Because Prahlad Maharaj says, whenever I chant your name, whenever I remember your transcendental qualities, I merge into an ocean of transcendental bliss. So on my own part, I have no problem. But I'm simply lamenting for all these fools and rascals who are trying to enjoy this material world. So, Ami shabde dehi jiva hungta charilo tadi abhiman aji hridaye pashilo. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he's giving up the false ego of thinking, thinking of I, me and mine. Sometimes we hear Mayavadis and Buddhists, they say we have to give up our ego. This word, ego, is mentioned here, Sanskrit word, ahamta. It means the sense of I-ness, thinking in terms of I, the identification of myself as I. So the Mayavadis say we should give this up. We should stop thinking in terms of I and think that I am the whole universe. We should merge our existence into the whole universe. And the Buddhists say we should stop thinking that I exist at all. But both of these ideas are impossible. You cannot become the universe. You are not the universe. You never can be the universe. You're not God. You're not God now. You're not going to be God in the future. You can imagine that you are God. That is something different. Right. But you cannot become God. And you cannot become nothing either. You have your fixed position. Jiveshu Rupoi Krishna Nityodas. Fixed position is that we are spirit, soul, eternal servant of Krishna. So in our imagination, we may dream of becoming God, but it's a useless dream only. We may want that, but we are not the controller. We are not God, and simply by imagining we cannot become God. And by trying to assassinate God, we also cannot become God. The Mayavadis, they want to assassinate God. Just like so many demons, they wanted to kill God. Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu. They wanted to kill God. So the Mayavadis, they also want to kill God. They say, God has no personality. That means he doesn't exist. He cannot see, he cannot walk, he cannot talk. So these are very offensive ideas. But by their offensiveness, they don't achieve their goal of becoming God. They simply have to suffer. So the real thing is not to give up the sense of I-ness, but to make our sense of I-ness correct. Right. Instead of thinking, I am this body, instead of thinking, I am God, we simply have to understand that I am the servant of Krishna. Amar shabasha deho geho anacha bhai bandhu dara shuta drabha dara gha. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, everything I have, which means my body, my home, my servants, because in those days, even now, but in those days especially, everyone used to keep servants in respectable families. Anucha can also mean follower. So, bhai, my brothers, friends, wife, children, all the possessions in my home, my house, even down to the doors. Sheshab hoilo taba ami hoinu das. Everything is yours. I am simply your servant. Tomar grihete ebe ami koribash. Now, instead of thinking this is my home, I'm simply thinking I'm living in your house. I'm just living here. This is very instructive for householders. How to live at home and be a pure devotee of Krishna. Instead of thinking this is my house, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is instructing you, think this is Krishna's house. I'm simply living here. How am I living here? Tumi griha shami ami shebok tumar, tumar shukete cheshta ekonama. That I'm living here with this attitude, that you, Krishna, are actually the owner of the house. I am simply your servant. And everything I'm doing here is simply for your pleasure. So this is the proper attitude for a householder devotee. He worships the deity at home, and he thinks everything in the home belongs to the deity. That will be discussed more in some other songs. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question?
Please.
Two questions? Okay. This is Madhvacharya. Two fingers. Prarthana. Here is English translation right here. It's complete.
Is it a big?
Is it big? Well, everything's relative. It's not as big as an elephant. It's bigger than an ant. Very valuable instructions. There's some householder devotees I know. They every night they come together, all the family, and they sing these songs. And Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They're Bengalis, so for them it's natural to sing. So some of the family members, they know all the songs. They can sing them all. They don't need any book. It's nice. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended. He said that in the evening after your work, you come home, everyone, and Kirtan Karaha Ishabe Hatte Tali Diya. Everyone simply sit and chant Hare Krishna and clap your hands.
Why Buddhists try to become completely, you know, like void?
Means great sense of frustration. They see this material life is so miserable, so let us finish it altogether. Just like someone may be suffering so much, they want to commit suicide. Sometimes, some months ago, I heard some story. Some woman in India, she had such severe headaches over many months, and in the end, she just suicide. So much suffering, they just want to end it. Of course, suicide doesn't end the problem. Then you just go to another set of problems. For killing the body, which you have no right to do, then you have to suffer, get the body of a ghost. So the same thing, the Buddhists, they're feeling this material life is so much suffering. But at the same time, they either don't have information of, or they don't have inclination to, serve the lotus feet of Krishna. So they simply want to finish everything, which is not possible anyway. This actually, if one is feeling like that suffering, that is good impetus for spiritual life. In these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing this, he's feeling the miseries of material life. But he's got the right solution, which is to surrender to Krishna. And the Buddhists, they don't have the right solution at all.
We know that you are writing some book, and can you say something about what are you writing?
The main book I'm working on now, actually there's several books, but the main one I'm working on right now is a book about Vaishnav culture, etiquette and behavior. All different things in detail. How to put on your tilak properly, how to receive guests, how to serve prasad, how to honor prasad, Vaishnav dress, what is the character of a brahmana. So many different things. But this is a big project. It'll take some long time still, even though it's been going on a long time. Jai Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But there are a few other books I'm working on also. I hope by Gaur Purnima to publish one or two more. I have one book, many stories from the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Actually, Indrajumna Swami took that from me once. Indrajumna Swami took the manuscript from me about 3 years ago. He wanted to edit it, but he found he was too busy, he couldn't do it. So I've had these stories for many years now, but somehow or other I still haven't published them. So someone else is supposed to be editing it now. When I get back to India, I'll find if he did any work or not. Then I'm writing one book called My Memories of Srila Prabhupada, which isn't a very big book, but anyway, I'm whatever Prabhupada disciples I meet, I'm asking them, please, whatever you remember, your personal memories of Prabhupada, please write them down. Because everything Prabhupada said and did is very valuable instruction for all of us and very pleasing to hear about. So we should collect from all the disciples of Prabhupada, all the stories. Maybe you can help me. You find out any Prabhupada disciple and fall at their feet and beg them, please write your stories of Prabhupada, even if it's only 5 lines. Some Prabhupada disciples, they never saw Prabhupada, ever. You know that? They got their initiation by post, and they never actually saw Prabhupada. And some just had little association. I'm in that category. It means I saw Prabhupada several times, mostly giving lectures like that, and some darshans like this. So that's one book. Then what else? Then there are different projects at different stages of development. I wanted to make a small book about the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just a small book with the basic lila and teachings. That's at some stage of development. It means I dictate it and it's being transcribed. Because many people in India, they ask us they want to know something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because outside of Bengal and Orissa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known, but not so much well known. So many people buy Prabhupada's books, they read them, and Prabhupada is quoting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, he said that. So they want to know more. So I was thinking to make some small book. Then I'm doing a book on Nyai. Nyai means different kinds of examples. Actually, Nyai means logic. There's one whole branch of there's one whole branch of Vedic knowledge or Vedic philosophy called Nyai. And all philosophers, Mayavadis and Vaishnavs, they use these examples from Nyai Shastra. Just like Prabhupada also, he used to use often some of them. That very famous one, Kupamandukya Nyai, that the philosophy, the example of the frog in the well. And there are so many like that. Bakanda Nyai, the bird and the eggs. There's so many. Sarpa Rajyu Nyai, rope and snake philosophy. So I collected up some of them. I have to find out more, and then I'll make a little book of that.
Collected
stories, little stories Prabhupada told, that all different stories, examples. It's nice for preaching. Then I got translation of Rasik Mangal, one book in Bengali, which tells the life of Rasikananda. Rasikananda was a great Vaishnav who, about 400 years ago, he was preaching in Bengal and Orissa. So these are some things I'm working on now. I don't know, it may be a few years before they all come out. To read a book is very easy. To write it is not so easy. So anyway, these are some of the books I'm working on. You should all study Prabhupada's books. Understand this philosophy very nicely. Get fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Understand exactly what is Krishna consciousness. Tachchadadhana munayog jnana vairagya yuktaya Pajanti Atmani Chatmanam Bhakta Shuta Grihitaya. This important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam says that the seriously inquisitive student or sage becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness by hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We need many devotees who can understand this philosophy and speak it to others in a clear manner. So, any other question?
So she's asking, when you were speaking about Manasadeha Geha, you were saying that it is, you know, if one is not achieved to perfection in one life, then he can get another human life and then he can continue his progress. And then she is asking, what about the example of Ajamil? Because he's like, gets his salvation just because of the, the holy name. And then is it possible that for neophyte just to get some perfection at the time of death?
Anything is possible, because everything is ultimately in the hands of Krishna. But generally, a neophyte devotee doesn't go back to Godhead. He has to become pure devotee. So we should try to become pure devotees. We can all become pure devotees in this very life. We don't have to wait many, many lifetimes. We should make our ambition to be pure devotees in this very life, because there's no guarantee what will happen in future. Especially this Kali Yuga is so horrible. You don't know what if you have to be born again, you don't know what horrible position we'll be born into. Better get out of this material world. What else is that? What do we want to stay here for? Can anyone think of any good reason to stay in this material world? I can think of one, which is preaching Krishna consciousness. But to have an effect in preaching, we have to become liberated soul anyway. Otherwise, what is there to remain in this material world for? Get born again, die again, have disease again, old age again, enjoy life again, as we've enjoyed so many times, in the body of cats and dogs and pigs and cockroaches. Better get wise, become wise. Do whatever we have to do to become Krishna conscious. It's also not very difficult. If we just go on with this chanting and serving Krishna, then gradually we'll become purified. I know sometimes devotees, when they join this room, they're a little new, sometimes they feel a lot of anxiety, that I have all these impurities. How am I possibly going to become a pure devotee? Anyway, don't be in anxiety. Just keep on going. Chant Hare Krishna. Utsahan nischayat dharyat. Be patient. Be enthusiastic, determined, and patient. Gradually, all the dirty things in the heart will go away. If we are sincere and serious, then in this very life we can go back to God. And one thing I've personally seen, that devotees who sincerely try to serve Krishna, that Krishna helps them. Right. Krishna says in the Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. He says, one who dedicates himself to me, whose aim of life is only to think of me and worship me, then I help them. I give them what they need to become perfect in yoga. So we've seen several devotees who were serving Krishna very nicely, but after some time, maybe due to some weakness, they fell away. Krishna picked them up again. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's said that a good master is one who, even if the servant goes away, he pulls him back by his hair. That means if we sincerely surrender to Krishna, Krishna will look after us. This Sharanagati Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching this. Bishash Palan, that I'm sure that if I give myself to Krishna, Krishna is not going to cheat me. Krishna is not going to neglect me. Krishna is our very dearest friend. Suhrit Satam, he is the very best friend of the honest devotees. Suhridam Sarava Bhutanam. Krishna is the best friend of everybody, but especially of those who are his pure devotees. Suhrit, this word means heart-to-heart friend. In Sanskrit, there are different words for friend. Mitra means ordinary friend, that I get something from you, you get something from me. Bandhu is another word which means close friend. And Suhrit means heart to heart, that you are ready to die for each other, this kind of friend. So Krishna, he's that much concerned with us. We should have firm faith. If we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will look after us. So don't go away, just stay. Stay in this Krishna conscious movement, go on chanting Hare Krishna. Don't be deluded by all nonsense ideas. Guru Mokha Paddavaka Chitete Kori Aika Ana Kori Hamanayasha. Just the instructions we receive from Guru, we follow that. Bas, finished. Whatever path is shown to us by Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, stick to that. Shampade Vipade. Then what is the next line? Janame Marane. In any condition, just stick to Krishna. And then we may be delivered in this life, or we may not. But anyway, Krishna will look after
us. Can you say the story of Pandava Ekadashi and then about the influence of this Ekadashi?
I wouldn't worry too much about it. Prabhupada, he didn't emphasize on these things so much. Prabhupada used to take breakfast, lunch, everything on Ekadashi. Only Ekadashi prasad. Work hard for Krishna. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's one story. He saw on Ekadashi, all the devotees were staying back in the temple. He said, well, why didn't you go preaching? He said, oh, we're all fasting. Yeah. So he said, well, there's another devotee, where is he? He said, well, he took some Ekadashi prasad and he went preaching. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he has understood our mission. If you want, you can fast all day and not drink any water and stay up all night. And next day, you'll probably sleep all day. At one time, there was a fashion in ISKCON. From time to time, we have different fashions in ISKCON. So there was the staying up all night on Ekadashi fashion. So if you got up in the middle of the night, I usually get up in the middle of the night to pass water. So you'd see all these devotees.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Just looking at their watch. They hadn't eaten anything all day, and then the next 2 days you wouldn't see them. So they lost 3 days of service. One day fasting all day, and then eating a big feast the next morning, then getting an upset stomach and sleeping for 2 days. So, I mean, actually, for people who are trained like that from an early age, they can do it very easily. But in the modern age, it's difficult to find people with the strength to do it. If you can do it and go on with your regular service, that's very good. Another important thing is that you shouldn't tell people you're doing it. So if you can do that, that's very nice. What is the scientific explanation of the existence of the soul? You want to translate that? Well, that is the first lesson in Bhagavad Gita. Dehinosmin yata dehe komarang yovanangjara tata dehantara praptihi. That the body is always changing. The mind is also changing. But the constant, unchanging factor in our existence is there also. The mother, if she sees her son after 20 years, she recognizes, this is my son. The body has changed, the mind has changed, but the person is the same. That means the person is different from the body and the mind. This is very simple logic to understand. Otherwise, by bringing test tubes, you won't find the soul. And not by bringing a microscope. I don't want to talk about Sai Baba. I want to talk about Krishna. If you want to know what I think about, if you want to know about Sai Baba, I'll just tell you very quickly. He's a rascal because he says he's God and he's not. So if you like him, you're also a rascal. That's all.
First question. He's saying, what do you think? In which way we can introduce this Vedic system in the Western countries? And second, how to? First one.
That's already going on. We don't have to speculate about it. We chant Hare Krishna, distribute these books, distribute prasadam, hold programs like this. This process is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srila Prabhupada, and it's perfect. And the more the devotees become fixed in Krishna consciousness, then the more effective they'll be in their preaching. So you also become fixed in Krishna consciousness, and then you can also be a very effective preacher. We hope that people, they will see what is the character of the devotees. People who are little intelligent and sensitive, they will notice. These people are leading a very good life. Ideal. No meat eating, illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Life is devoted to God. They have philosophy. So gradually people should notice this. If we remain ideal.
Any other question? And the second part is, how can you say something about Vedic principles of hosting? You know, if some guest comes, how to act?
Yes, the saying is, Atithi Narayana. They say that a guest should be treated as God.
What kind of mistakes can a young devotee what kind of mistakes can young devotee perform in the relationship with sadhu when he meets sadhu?
An inexperienced person can make any number of mistakes, and I didn't think of them all, but there are plenty you can learn.
Конечно,
well, inexperience means he has to learn. If someone is inexperienced, then who is experienced, they won't be angry at them for their lack of knowledge. But they should not remain inexperienced. They should learn also.
So he said that we're trying to arrange everything to meet two sadhus, and then we don't want to make some mistakes, some stupid mistakes.
Well, probably you'll make some anyway. But you can learn by your mistakes. Any more questions? Wait a minute, we'll take just one. We'll take this one first, then I'll go.
You were saying that you were writing something in your book about the brahmanas, and it's meant to arrange a perfect class of brahmanas, and then can you say something about what are you writing there?
Well, maybe you can say. You're typing it in. You didn't reach to that, yes.
Yeah, not yet.
Well, brahmana means saintly person, intellectual. Shamo damat tapashocham kshantir arjam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma swabhavajam. Means a brahmana, he should be peaceful, self-controlled, shamodama, austere, clean, tolerant, very straightforward, not duplicitous. He should be knowledgeable, and not just theoretical knowledge, but he should know how to apply that knowledge in practical life. He should have firm faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are qualities of brahmana. So these qualities we want to develop. That if such a class of people is there, is a great benefit to the world, is revolutionary. Who is, where is the institution to teach? Shamo, Dhamma, Tapa, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity. So by actually developing these brahminical qualities, we want to improve the society by giving spiritual guidance.
Is it okay if we go out in this country with big bag?
Why should it not be okay?
Is it not dangerous for a devotee?
Well, you can answer. You tell me. What do the devotees think? Actually, there's danger always in the material world. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. At every step there is danger. And some people don't like our devotees. And many people do like our devotees. I always recommend devotees as much as possible, they should wear devotees' clothes.
Yes,
not I recommend, Prabhupada. Because then people will see is Hare Krishna devotee. Many people, of course, in Russia, they don't know actually now what is Hare Krishna. And then they may come up and ask you, that experience I've had several times here in Russia, people come up and say, what's this all about? So it's a chance to preach. Or maybe if they don't ask you, they may ask someone else, hey, I saw someone, this funny looking dress, what's it all about? Those who know, some they'll see and say, oh, Hare Krishna, that's very nice. And others will see and say, oh, Hare Krishna, that's not very nice. But anyway, they're thinking of Krishna. Even if they think Hare Krishna not very nice, at least they thought Hare Krishna. So they'll become purified one way or another. So better to go in devotee's clothes. That is best.
Can you tell about 20 Mahajans who know the karma?
20 Mahajans?
Who know the karma. Yeah, 12.
12 Mahajans.
Who knows the
karma? Well, I mean, have you got a few days? There's long stories of every one of them. But all their stories are told in Srimad Bhagavatam. So you kindly purchase one set of Srimad Bhagavatams, and at your leisure, you can read and be enlightened.
Is Sadashiva in this parampara of 12 Mahajans?
Mahajan means a great person. 12 particularly are listed. But any great devotee is Mahajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's also Mahajan.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's asking the question about your Grihastha seminar in Moscow. He's saying that if one has lost, then he, as a brahmachari, is supposed to get married. And then...
No, not necessarily.
Grihastha.
Otherwise, there will be no brahmacharis left. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsari, every conditioned soul has lust, greed, anger, envy, all these things. But brahmacharya means to follow the rules and regulations to become purified. If you're losing in the battle to control the mind constantly, then it may be better to get married. But if one strictly follows brahmacharya life, then he should be able to control the mind. Grihastha is also supposed to be brahmachari.
Can you say about your experience in reading Srila Prabhupada's book? Because he says his experience is that he is reading, and nothing is staying in his head.
Just go on reading. At least the time that you're reading, your mind is engaged. But actually this philosophy is very deep and very vast. I think most of our devotees, they find after reading Prabhupada's books a few times, then they start to grasp all the different subtleties of the philosophy. Our consciousness is dull, being covered by Maya. So it takes a little time to take the coverings off the heart. But anyway, go on reading and gradually Everything will be revealed. Spiritual knowledge is not exactly revealed just by reading. It's not like an academic study. That reading is essential, but the knowledge, the realization comes when Krishna is pleased with us. Realization comes by blessing from Guru and Krishna.
So, another question. He's saying that in third canto, Lord Kapiladeva explains to his mother Devahuti that there is a four stages, like mind, intelligence, and then ego and polluted consciousness, and like this. And what is the difference between these last two?
There's not much difference. Even mind and intelligence, ego, they're all intelligence and false ego. They're very close to each other. Polluted intelligence. Yeah. Polluted consciousness means Krishna Bahirmukh Hoya. He becomes inimical to Krishna. And then the result of that is he thinks that I am the enjoyer of this world. That is false ego. So one leads from the other naturally. Polluted consciousness means that is false ego is full of polluted consciousness. In the material world, our intelligence is full of polluted consciousness. Our mind is full of polluted consciousness. That is the basic principle of why we're in this material world. Krishna Bahimokoya Bhogavancha Kari Nikatasta Mayatare Japatiyatare. When we become inimical to Krishna, we desire sense gratification, then Maya catches us. Aminitto Krishna Das Ekata Bhule Mayar Nafar Hoya Chirodin Bhule. Forgetting that I am the servant of Krishna, Aminitto Krishna Das Ekata Bhule, I become the servant of Maya and go on passing my days.
And some other question? Can you tell something about the servant of Srila Prabhupada, about Hari Krishna Maharaj?
Can I say something? Well, I mean, where shall we begin? It's like, you know, Dwadash Mahajan. You should write a book. He probably wouldn't allow you, though. He didn't even allow his Vyasa Puja book for some years. Then he said, one offering from every center. I spent most of my time in Krishna consciousness out in the jungles in Bangladesh and places like that. But I saw Hari Keshe Maharaj when he was traveling with Prabhupada. That was many, many years ago. And I was always surprised. He was, because, you know, being the servant of Prabhupada is a big, big position, big job. He was very, in the times when we ran into him, he was very friendly and personal and like that. Then practically I didn't see him for so many years. Just I came to Sweden. And I just saw him in Sweden that time, in 1979. No, I never saw him. I saw him in Mayapur Festival every year. The other day, someone asked me, can you tell me about Niranjan Maharaj? And I said, no. Because he was in America so many years. I was in India and all these countries. So all I can say, he's a book distribution man, Sankirtan man, leads a great kirtan. And I spoke with him for about half an hour once in Vrindavan, and that was about it. So this time in Moscow, we were together for a few days. So he was leaving. I said, well, now at least if your disciples ask, I could say I know a little bit more about him.
He said?
No, I said. Of course, everyone knows Hari Keshe Maharaj by his achievements. Kirtir yasya sajivati, one who's famous, he lives. It's taken Prabhupada's instructions to him, which are to publish books and distribute and to preach in countries like Russia. And he stuck to that and is an example of how by strictly following the instructions of the spiritual master, you can achieve all success. So actually, this is the way to understand devotees. It's, of course, all these stories, I saw him and he said this and that, and that's also nice. But you should see what is the essence. Devotee means what is his spirit of service. So that we should see and follow.
He was saying about the spirit and service, inclination of mind and service, and then if we see...
What?
He was saying this last sentence is about the spirit of service. And if we see that somebody manifests some, you know, like inclination like this, should we encourage this?
Of course. That's the whole essence of spiritual life, is to serve Krishna. Definitely should be encouraged. And we'll also become encouraged. Jayananda, he was the first... He passed away before Prabhupada's disciple. And Prabhupada said his disappearance day should be celebrated with a feast like any other great Vaishnava. So Jayananda, he was always serving. He was always working hard. Even though he was the most senior devotee in the temple, he'd always be taking out the rubbish or cooking or doing something. I never saw him, I only heard about him. So many devotees told me about Jayananda. In the very early days at San Francisco temple, he was... He was the temple president. So he was so much more advanced than everybody else. And if anybody new came, they used to send to him for preaching to. So one devotee, Dhanavir, who's now one of the gurus in our movement. So he told me, he first came to the temple and he asked, well, could you tell me something about Krishna consciousness? And he said, go see Jayananda. He asked another devotee and they said, go see Jayananda. So he thought, I'd better find Jayananda. So he said, well, where can I find him? He said, well, at this time he must be taking out the garbage. It's over there. So he went out there and he found someone carrying the garbage. He looked totally ecstatic and blissful. So Dhanavir asked, how is it that you're so happy? He said, I don't know, I don't have time to think about it. He said, can you help me carry out the garbage? He engaged everybody. He was famous, he used to get bums off the street and engage them in Krishna service. He used to build the Rath Yatra carts. He used to get all these weird people off the streets and get them working literally day and night to build.